forward in a positive way and pressing ourselves toward the goal for the prize. The topic of the lesson comes from Philippians chapter 3, and I'd invite you to turn there as we'll be focusing on this text this evening in our lesson. Thank you for being here. We have several visitors with us as I look out. Some of our own are visiting away, but we're glad to see some visiting with us tonight. So happy that you can be with us and enjoy this period of worship to our God. I think it was Yogi Berra that may have said, if you don't know where you're going, you might not know when you get there. And there is a lot of truth to that. Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you want to go? Not only in this life, but in eternity. What is it that you are trying to achieve? What is your purpose? What's your intention for your life? Are you just going sort of aimlessly along? I tell you what, if we just sort of are going along with the stream, with the flow of life, there's not a lot of reason or motivation to press anything, to strive for anything. But when you have a goal, when you have an intention for your life, then things all of a sudden become important to you and critical, and you press yourself to achieve that which you've set before you as your life's goal. Paul has that in mind in Philippians chapter 3, I think. After beginning the chapter talking about the things he was willing to let go of in order to become a Christian and make this new pursuit in his life, he says in verse 8, "Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I already have attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And it's those simple phrases in verse 14 that we're going to focus on tonight. I press toward the goal for the prize. Paul repeatedly says in this text, more than once, that he is pressing. That he's pressing. The idea of pressing towards something is the idea of heading toward it, pursuing it with a good bit of intensity. It's making yourself try harder. It's making yourself expend more energy. It's making yourself focus more. In order to press toward and pursue this goal that he had, other pursuits had to be left behind. And that's what he says, isn't it? Forgetting those things which are behind. The concept is not, as so many, I think, take from this passage, and don't get me wrong here, this is a legitimate application and a legitimate truth of what's being taught here, and that is that we forget the sins behind us that have been forgiven. We don't have to feel the guilt of those sins. But that's not at all the concept that Paul has in this verse. It's not that we're forgetting having committed sins. As I said, although leaving the guilt of those sins behind after they've been forgiven is an application of this, Paul hadn't gotten amnesia about the sins that he'd previously committed, had he? He knew he'd committed those sins. He hadn't forgotten them. He didn't feel the guilt of them. He knew he was forgiven by the grace of God. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13, he says, "I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man." He recognizes that he committed those sins. He hadn't gotten amnesia about those things. But he says, "I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief." In verse 15 of that text, he indicates that he regarded himself as the chiefest of sinners. But I don't think Paul has any of that in view when he says in Philippians 3, that he's forgetting those things that are behind, that he may press. I appreciate the prayer so much of Charles Jackson tonight. He talked about the year that is passing away and lies behind us, and going forward and pressing forward to improve ourselves and to do better in the coming year. That's the kind of thing that Paul has in mind here. And particularly, the things that he's talking about in this context are the things that were his previous aspirations and accomplishments. The things that he left behind in Judaism. Those are the things he listed earlier in this very context. You go back and read it. I didn't read the entire context. But he said, I might have confidence in the flesh, back in verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. These things were gain to me. I have counted loss. And these are the things, forgetting those things which are behind. What's he talking about in the context? He's talking about these exact things. Those are the words that he uses. These things were the rubbish. These things are the things that he'd given up, and these things are the things he's forgetting about. His earlier aspirations, his earlier accomplishments, what he was before he became a Christian, what he intended to be before he became a Christian, what he thought life was all about before he became a Christian, all of that, he's forgetting about that. And he's got a new goal. He's got something else to press toward and a new prize to attain. And with everything that he has and everything that he is, that's what he's going for. That's what he's going for. What Paul wants us to get from this, I think, is basically about what Jesus was saying when he told people to, Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Go forward to your new life with everything you've got. When Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God, you've got to forget those things. Whatever you wanted to do and be before you became a Christian, before your life got focused on Jesus Christ, whatever that was, you've got to put it behind you. That's not your life anymore. Those are the things you've got to forget, that you might press toward the goal for the prize. We must forget those things. All of those aspirations, and press toward the goal. There is, I think, in this phrase, the concept of the extension of ourselves, stretching out for something that has been beyond our reach, but that we're striving with all of our vigor to obtain. The Greek word here for pressing, dioko, means to pursue. It's also translated press in verse 12, press toward in verse 14, as we're noticing. Often in the English of the New Testament, this particular word is translated persecute. It's an interesting translation of this particular word. But the concept is just, you know, somebody that's persecuted, what someone's going after them with everything they've got, right? Someone's trying to get at them. And that's really one of the definitions of this word. And so when he says, I press, I'm persecuting. I'm going for it. I'm getting after it. And the thing that we have to know is that if we're going to go for a goal, if we're going to go towards something, if we have our focus and our intention on that thing, then other things are going to, as we head toward that, we're going to run away from other things. We're going to run away from other things. And so you have this dichotomy between pursuing something and fleeing something. But it all happens at once. We flee the things that are not part of what our goal is, what we're striving to attain, and we run toward the things that we are. I've told about a friend of mine that had basketball coach in high school, coached a high school basketball team, and he had a player who, great player from a physical standpoint, but not, you know, his elevator didn't go all the way to the top, let's just put it that way. And so he would unfortunately do things like steal the ball during a game and, you know, head toward the wrong goal and dunk it in the wrong goal, some things like that. You can't do that. You gotta run from that goal and head towards your goal. You see, there's only one direction you can go here. And in going the right direction, you're going away from things that are in the wrong direction. We look at a passage like 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice what Paul says. In verse 9, those who desire to be rich, and that may have been a pursuit of yours before you became a Christian. Your desire may have been to be rich, as a for instance. Well, a lot of people have that desire in our world today. But he says, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things. You got to run away from that desire to be rich and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Flee from some things, pursue other things. Those aren't your goal. Those things aren't your goal anymore. Pursue your goal. That's what Paul is saying. Same thing in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So back in our text in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The goal there, not to give a Greek lesson tonight, but the particular word there is skopos, from which we get our English word scope. We talk about scoping something out or looking at something through a telescope, for instance. The goal there is the thing that you've got in view. It's the thing you're scoping out. It's the thing you've got focused on. Paul's intention is for us to see this. Someone who's pursuing a prey or going after something or somebody, and that's all he sees, and that's all he's focused on. And you can hit him upside the head with a 2x4 and you can get him whatever, but it's not going to sway his focus. He is so just determined to go after that. That's the import of this particular word, to pursue, to press toward that goal. You've got your eye on it. So Paul says, I am pressing toward that goal, that thing that I've got my eye on. I want you to understand that the goal is not heaven. That may surprise some of you who read a recent book that I've written. But the goal is not heaven. Heaven's the prize. The goal, and it's very clear in the context what it is. If you look at Philippians 3 in the verses that I've read, the goal isn't heaven. The goal is Christ. The goal is to be like Christ, to know Christ, to be in fellowship with Christ. That's the goal. And what Paul then is saying is, everything in my life is focused on Christ. He is what I'm going after. He is what I'm pursuing. If you look in this context, the goal in this text is variously described in verse 8, the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's what Paul was going after. that I may gain Christ, again in verse 8, that I may be found in Him in verse 9, that I may know Him in verse 10. You see, that's the goal. He says it about four times. Christ, Christ, Christ. That's what it's all about. The wrong kind of focus on the prize instead of on the goal can be debilitating to us and unhelpful in the long run. Many of you have competed in sports over the years. I've competed in several different sports, and I found in my own personal competitive experiences and for teams that I've coached and individuals that I've coached, that if we can stay focused on what we're doing right now and on doing things correctly right now and really focus on pursuing excellence in the moment, the prizes will take care of themselves. The trophies and the championships and all of that will take care of themselves. But if you focus on the prize, well, I want to win the trophy. I want to be crowned as champion. If that's your only focus, if that's what you're going for, you lose sight of the here and now. Here's about all you have. Somebody wrote, here's what you need to know about prizes. And Mitchell wrote a number of years ago in the Washington Post. He says, all anybody needs to know about prizes is that Mozart never won one. How about that? You know, just here's somebody who's renowned for excellence. He never won a prize. It's not what he was going for. I don't think Christ ever won a prize either, did he? Our pursuit is of Him, that we may gain Christ, that we may know Christ, that we may be found in Him, that we may obtain the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. This goal is achieved, I believe, by constantly looking to Christ and His Word and allowing that constant gaze at our Savior and Master to transform us. I love the description of this in figurative terms that Paul gives in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. He says that we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we stay focused on Him, and as we are focused on Him, we're looking at Him, if you will, in sort of a magic mirror, and we see Him in the mirror, and the more we look at Him, the more we become like Him, and our image is transformed into His image. I read a story about a lady by the name of Carol Mayhall. She tells about going to a weight loss center, and the physician that was in charge of the center took her in front of a mirror, and she was well overweight. You know, if he had done the outline of her body in the mirror, it would have been round. I'll just say it would have been round. But instead of doing that, he had her look in this mirror, and he took a piece of, you know, a marker, and he drew an outline that was not her current body at all, but the outline of the body that she wanted to have. And so every time when she came to weigh in, you know, she'd look at this mirror, and here's what she's trying to be transformed into. And by looking in that mirror, you see how far away your current form is from that form, and you strive more and more day by day. Darren had a great lesson last Sunday night. I wasn't here to hear it, but I listened to it on the East Side site. Had a great lesson about discipleship is a process, isn't it? It's not a one-time thing. We're growing to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's a lifetime pursuit to be like Christ. And so we're gradually changing into this image. We're transformed, as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. As we're looking at this mirror and beholding the image of the glory of the Lord, we're transformed into that same image. And once We have that as our goal, and that's our lifelong pursuit. And I want you to think about this then as we head into the coming year. Whatever we say about resolutions or promises that we make or things we're going to try to improve or do better in the coming year, I challenge you this. If you live another year, if God gives you and I another year to live, this time next year, make it your goal to say, I'm more like Christ than I was a year ago. All the time, our pursuit must be to become more and more like Him. And then once we have that as the goal, we can win the prize. And the prize, well, it's an award. It's heaven. Heaven is our prize for attaining the goal. The word that's translated prize in this particular passage, rebaon is the word, is used only here and in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 in all of the New Testament in the original Greek. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one, Paul says, receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So your pursuit of Christ-likeness is in such a way that you may finally and at last obtain that prize. It's one who finishes the race. Heaven in the Scriptures is often depicted as a reward that's received for effort. And despite what you might hear in denominations about, no, you can't work for heaven, that's folks, people who say those kinds of things just not reading their Bibles. Heaven is a reward, and a reward is something that you work for. Put it as plainly as we can put it. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and He will reward each one according to his works. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you don't need to work to go to heaven. Jesus said He's going to come and reward people according to their works. Now I know no work is going to earn you heaven. I didn't say that it would, did I? But that's a far cry from saying you don't have to work to get there. No, you don't earn it by anything you do, but you do have to do. In 2 John verse 8, I should say, John says, look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Receive a full reward. Work for the full reward. It's a prize, heaven is. And it's compared to a victor's crown. A prize for winning. The word that's often translated in our English Bibles in the New Testament as crown is actually one of my favorite Greek words. It's stephanos, from which we get the name Stephen, so I really like it. But it refers to a victor's crown, the crown that's given to the one who wins the contest. Joseph Henry Thayer in his Greek lexicon says, it is the wreath or the garland which was given as a prize to victors in the public games. He says, metaphorically, it's the eternal blessedness which will be given as a prize to genuine servants of God in Christ, the crown or wreath which is the reward of the righteous. That's a great definition. So, we press toward the goal for the prize. That's the ultimate culmination, striving to be like Christ. I've said that heaven is kind of like a masquerade party. Never been to a masquerade party? Maybe everybody has to dress up, look like somebody. Heaven's kind of like that. But the only people that are admitted entrance are the people who look like Jesus. That's how you get in. You've lived a lifetime striving to look like Jesus. So who have loved His appearing. It is a crown of righteousness. It is a crown of life. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. And it is a crown that does not fade away. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You know, I shared this with you, I think, earlier in this year, but the crowns that people received in the Olympics and the games in the first century were not much. Writers of antiquity are correct, would be pretty much stalks of celery. They would be crowns made out of celery. You know, I can't even get celery refrigerator. It doesn't last long, does it? It's all limpy and all that. Pretty soon it starts to rot. But here's something that's going to last forever. What Peter says. You receive the crown does not fade away. Life is short. Passing of the year 2014. A lot of things happened in 2014. A lot of us have been through a lot. Our families have been through a lot. There's been sickness. Been struggles. I've seen some hard times. I have a niece that was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer this year, 30 years old. Friends from New Georgia was also diagnosed, he's just in his 50s, with stage 4 liver cancer this year. Who ever had in this life? Eugene Cagle and Bertha Pittman, you wouldn't, most of you not know them, passed from this world in this last year. And that's just in my life. I know all of you could have stories that you could tell and things that you can think about what's going on in your life in this past year. As I look about the room, I realize, yeah, we've all got those stories. Life is so temporary. And a year goes by, so much has changed. And will continue to change. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging. Life is all about being like Jesus. And in the end, receiving the crown of glory that does not fade away. Tonight that crown can be yours. And whatever 2015 might bring for a good or ill, of loss or blessing, an eternal crown that doesn't change and that doesn't fail is worth living for. That's not what life is about to you. You'd ask you to come while we stand.